Blog Talk Radio.
Again to another show. You are now on Painted Green. This is episode 2, and this is the Fake News Awards. This was highly anticipated. I'm your host, Tony Smith. I'm pretty excited about the show. I actually thought it was pretty cool how Trump even brought the Fake News Awards out. He presented it via the GOP website as to get you to vote and all of that kind of stuff and get you to support him. So it was very, very clever how he did it. The media, the MSM, thought he was going to push it out there like, do a presidential, thought it was going to be a show. No, it's internet-based and let the people make all of their news out of it. So I thought that was awesome. Also, we tried to do the live stream on it last night, but of course we're being demonetized and censored, so the feed didn't come out too good. We are broadcasting live via Facebook, via Periscope, via YouTube. Of course, we're demonetized, so please donate. We have a GoFundMe account. Just Google GoFundMe Green News Network and you'll find the GoFundMe. Please donate. $5 from 500 people is $2,500, and that's what we need monthly to be able to survive and grow. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the fake news countdown. So here are the fake news awards. And you can put the link to the GOP archive website so you guys can see this for yourselves. But 2017 was a year of unrelenting bias, unfair news coverage, and even downright fake news. Studies have shown that over 90% of media's coverage of President Trump is negative. Below are the winners of the 2017 Fake News Awards. Dun, da, da, da. Number one, the New York Times' Paul Krugman claims that on the day of Trump's historic landslide victory, that the economy would never recover. Paul Krugman's words, markets will never recover from Trump. Dow hits record high as he says that. Let's take a listen.
In 2008, Paul Krugman won the Nobel Prize in Economics. Isn't it time he gets another? Remember what he said way back on Election Day? Quote, "It really does now look like President Donald J. Trump, and markets are plunging. When might we expect them to recover?" A first-pass answer is never. That's pretty awesome for a garden gnome. But he's no garden gnome. He's a Nobel Prize-winning economist. A garden gnome could run circles around this bearded butthead. And every time he gets it wrong, he gets a raise. So he must be loaded now, as the stock market broke 23,000 and filings for unemployment benefits plunged to the lowest level since 1973. So will Pauly admit how wrong he was? I doubt it. Look at him. Put simply, so many would rather see the economy crash than admit Trump's made it great. Just like those who'd rather ignore the defeat of ISIS than admit Trump's direct approach worked, or that its straight talk of North Korea has finally gotten China to act. But the Krugmans of the world see Trump behind every rainy day. After all, just weeks ago, Krugman blamed Trump for a non-existent cholera outbreak in Puerto Rico. He deserves another prize for that, too, or a pink slip. Bottom line, so many in the media have made a mint out of picking at wounds. Stories about kneeling, oppression, division, phone calls. But turn off that noise for a minute and ask yourself, has America changed much since the election, as the economy grows and ISIS dies? Yes, it got better.
Okay, and that was the clip from Paul Krugman. And just so you guys know, Paul Krugman was going to be either the Commerce Secretary or the Treasury Secretary for Bernie Sanders' administration, just so you guys know that. That's the number one. Okay, number two, ABC's News, Brian Ross, chokes and sends markets in a downward spiral with false report. So Brian Ross made a false report on Trump, and the markets plunged. Let's listen.
Dan Gaynor is Media Research Center VP of Business and Culture. This was pretty stunning. I was on the air live when their report came out, and they were the only ones reporting this. And it was at the time that Michael Flynn was making the plea, and they were still going over all the details, and they reported that he was flipping on the president. And that, I mean, that's a big deal. And it was, he's flipping on, you know, his source was candidate President Trump, which implied with its language that it was before the election. So it would have been a really strange time to be reaching out to the Russians. I mean, there's a lot. This is very, very wrong. It wasn't like a little slip. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, yes, reporters make errors, and part of the nature of what Brian Ross does as an investigative reporter, he's going to make big errors. But this is a huge error, and it's not just what he did that was wrong. It's ABC's editorial process that let it get through. It's ABC's reluctance to call it an error that needed correction. So the ABC initially called it a clarification. They waited until late the next day to call it something that needed to be corrected. At that point, if you're an investor, you're wondering how can you trust anything that ABC's putting out?
Well, if you're an investor, if you're just a fair-minded person, I mean, there's a lot of situations where he's jumped to conclude either a motive or a connection, like that something that was happening that had political implications one way or the other, and he jumped and was completely wrong. And within those, they kind of all fall in the same way and show his bias. You know, in 2012, he falsely linked the Tea Party to the Aurora, Colorado mass shooting. You know, I mean, there are others like those where it seems to betray his bias, and I wonder why ABC would let him continue for decades with a whole track record of mistakes like this.
Yeah, I mean, to give somebody 4 weeks vacation, even unpaid, around Christmas isn't the worst thing you're ever going to do to them. And, you know, you go back to 2001, Ari Fleischer was chimed in, former Bush communications guy, talking about the problems of the anthrax report that Brian Ross did back in 2001, where he blamed Saddam Hussein for it,
yeah.
And it turned out to be wrong. Ari Fleischer told him it was wrong at the time.
Yeah.
So, and they go on and on, but there you go. There you have it. So, Brian Ross, and they made some good points in there. So, fake news. Okay, so you got Brian Ross. That was the number two fake news. And then they even alluded to back in the 90s with Bush Sr. when they went to Desert Storm. So you know that the media is the propaganda arm of the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex. It's plain as day. Even the president pushed back Bush, and he's a supreme globalist. He helped with the assassination of JFK, and he was the director of the CIA back in those days. So they are, and then whenever you hear that a war has started, the media salivates over it. They salivate. So that's the number two. Okay, let's go down to number three. And then the Dow plunged when he reported that. So markets are starting to react on news if it's being true or not. Because the markets used to react on speculation or lies or rumors. But now the markets are reacting on the facts, which is a good thing. Number three. CNN falsely reported that candidate Trump and his son, Donald J. Trump Jr., had access to hacked documents from WikiLeaks. Newsflash, CNN, we all had access to hacked documents from WikiLeaks. Fake news. Okay, so CNN fake news reported. Donald Trump, he was a candidate. They had access to documents from WikiLeaks. The CNN botched dates, inaccurately reports Trump's campaign had WikiLeaks sneak peek. So that is the number three with the WikiLeaks sneak peek. Okay, let's go to the number four. Let's listen to this clip. I want you guys to hear this clip because this was the whole thing was based over this Washington Post issue, I believe. So let's take a. Let's take a listen. One, because I got to make sure. Okay, let's just take a listen to this.
Washington Post fired journalist who tweeted fake news photos which showed an empty arena at his Florida rally when it was actually packed. President Donald Trump took a Washington Post writer to task on Saturday after the reporter posted inaccurate photos of Trump's Friday Florida rally. Dave Weigel, who writes about politics for the Post, tweeted a photo of a largely empty stadium with a quote from Trump, packed to the rafters. Trump immediately hit back, quickly getting an apology out of Weigel, and demanded that the Washington Post fire him to boot. Trump posted a screen grab of Weigel's tweet, along with photos of him stood in front of a packed arena. At Dave Weigel at Washington Post put out a phony photo of an empty arena hours before I arrived at the venue, with thousands of people outside, on their way in, he wrote. Real photos now shown as I spoke. Packed house, many people unable to get in. Demand apology and retraction from fake news WAPO. Weigel responded minutes later, saying he'd been notified of the error by DailyMail.com's U.S. political editor, David Martosko, who attended the event. Sure thing, I apologize, he wrote.
Okay, so there's another fake news situation with the Washington Post. Reporting fake news on the crowd in Florida, because that's when everybody was like, oh, he's got a big crowd, when he was supposed to be hated by the majority of Americans. Same thing with the inauguration. they set up the inauguration photo right when people were coming in, so it made it seem as if that his inauguration was smaller than Obama's inauguration. So that's part of it, because this Washington Post situation is right after the CNN Donald Trump WikiLeaks thing. So, but obviously, and then we could pull up Julian Assange and show that Julian Assange, let's actually get that clip quick here, because we could show that Julian Assange said that Trump had no Russian collusion, no Russian collusion at all. WikiLeaks and Trump were not connected at all, at all. But guess what? Fake news is going to tell you otherwise, right? That's just how it goes. That's just how it goes, brothers and sisters. But the website crashed last night. So many people were trying to figure out, but that's awesome how that went down, because that's exactly how things are supposed to happen. That's how news is supposed to go down. You know, people are supposed to go look for it and then start reporting, you know, not propaganda as the fake news does. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. So, let's show, I just want to show you guys real quick here that, and show you that Assange, and here's his response about that WikiLeaks contact situation. Here we go.
Down link below, subscribe to this YouTube channel. We are over 90,000 subscribers on our way to 100,000. There are no conclusions, only assessments. We can go on forever. It is number one in its category, debunking the Trump-Russia myth. DNC never gave its computer service to the FBI. It was a leak, not a hack. I also talk about the uranium deal. But this is very interesting. So The Atlantic came out today with its usual... The Atlantic is a lot better than Slate and all the others, but the secret correspondence between Donald Trump Jr. and WikiLeaks, wow, oh my God. Why didn't they come out with the secret correspondence between Maggie Haberman of the New York Times and the Clinton campaign, or Glenn Thrush, then of Politico? I'll get to that in a second. The Transparency Organization asked the president's son for his cooperation in sharing its work in contesting the results of the election and in arranging for Julian Assange to be Australia's ambassador to the United States. Okay, this, here is the response from Julian Assange. I'll read you the response from Julian Assange, then I'll just give you my 2 cents. Okay, so here are my thoughts. I mean, here's Julian Assange. His words. I cannot confirm the alleged DMs from Donald Trump Jr. to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks does not keep such records, and The Atlantic's presentation is edited and clearly does not have the full context. However, even those published by The Atlantic show that, one, WikiLeaks loves its pending publications and ignores those who ask for details. Trump Jr. was rebuffed, just like Cambridge Analytica. In both cases, WikiLeaks had publicly teased the publications. Thousands of people asked about them. WikiLeaks can be very effective at convincing even high-profile people that it is in their interest to promote links to its publications. By the way, Mike Pompeo tweeted out WikiLeaks DNC emails. Okay. WikiLeaks has such chutzpah that it allegedly tried to convince Trump Jr. to leak his father's tax return. In his own, quote, Russian lawyer meeting emails, he did. WikiLeaks appears to beguile some people into transparency by convincing them that it is in their interest. Finally, I tweeted this publicly back in July. Hashtag Hysteriverse. Contacted Trump Jr. this morning on why he should publish his emails. 2 hours later,
does it himself. Okay. And then, full of alleged DMs and contacts provides a different reading, unsurprisingly.
Okay, and I just want you to get the gist of it. So the only time that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and Donald Trump Jr. ever had contact was when Julian Assange was saying it's in your best interest to put those out, and Donald Trump Jr. did it before WikiLeaks even told him to do it. That's the only contact. So, again, it is fake news. And that was H.A. Goodman, which is one of the real progressive outlets that you guys should subscribe to. But I just wanted to put that out there quick just so you know that Julian Assange and Donald Trump Jr. didn't get hacked emails. They were leaked, and they didn't get them prior. They got them with everyone else when they were leaked. So fake news number three. Number four, Time falsely reported that President Trump removed the bust of Martin Luther King Jr. in the Oval Office. So, again, more fake news. Let's listen.
I have some fake news to expose for you guys again today. I guess that's every day, isn't it, with the liberal media spewing their lies nonstop? But today's example comes from the trusted media source, Time Magazine, and their White House correspondent, Zeke Miller, who tweeted out the lie, the fake news, the hoax, that Donald Trump, on his first day in office, removed the bust of Martin Luther King from the Oval Office. This based off of a photograph that he saw taken inside the Oval Office during Trump's first day of the table where the bust sits, but he didn't see it because someone was standing in the way, and he started tweeting out that Donald Trump removed it from the Oval Office. What is true is that when Barack Obama became the president, he removed the bust of Winston Churchill from the Oval Office, who was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. You know, our closest ally in defeating the Nazis. So Obama had his bust removed from the Oval Office and probably put in a closet somewhere, and so Donald Trump had said that on his first day, he's going to put Winston Churchill's bust back, and so the busts were in people's minds, and so this liberal lunatic was so paranoid, and he had busts on his mind, that he saw the table where the bust of Martin Luther King sits, but it was obstructed, like I said, by someone standing in the way. He just construed that Donald Trump must have taken it and thrown it away. As soon as this fake news started spreading, a White House aide had to run into the Oval Office, take a photo of the bust, and post it on Twitter to prove that it is, in fact, still there.
So there you have it. So immediately, and then if you read the book Scattered, it talks about how the DNC launched this whole Russia thing to fight Trump, because they're all butthurt about losing the election, which they were so arrogantly thought they'd win. So that was number four. And number five was the Washington Post false report, which we played that clip a little earlier because that happened right after number three, which was CNN reported Donald Trump and his son, Trump Jr., had hacked documents. Right after that, Washington Post reported that rally situation, and we've already found that that was a lie, just like the inauguration. And here's the tweet from Trump. Washington Post put out a phony photo of an empty arena hours before I arrived at the venue with thousands of people outside on their way in. Real photos not shown as I spoke. Packed house. Many people unable to get in. Demand apology. Retraction from fake news. WAPO or the Washington Compost. So there you have it on that end. And number six, CNN falsely edited a video to make it appear President Trump defiantly overfed fish during a visit with the Japanese Prime Minister. Japanese Prime Minister actually led the way with the feeding. And you actually have to go to Twitter to see the actual footage of this. I mean, we can talk about it, but you have to actually see it in order. And that's why they do these fake things like this, because you actually have to see it. So number seven is CNN falsely reported about Anthony Scaramucci's meeting with a Russian, but retracted it due to a significant breakdown in process. So let's take a listen to the clip on that.
CNN accepted the resignations Monday of three journalists involved in a retracted story about a supposed investigation into a pre-inaugural meeting between an associate of President Donald Trump and the head of a Russian investment fund. The story was posted on the network's website on Thursday and was removed with all links disabled Friday night. CNN immediately apologized to Anthony Scaramucci, the Trump transition team member who was reported to be involved in the meeting. The story's author, Thomas Frank, was among those who resigned, according to a network executive who requested anonymity because the person was not authorized to discuss personnel issues. Also losing their jobs were Eric Lichbaugh, an assistant managing editor in CNN's Washington Bureau, and Lex Harris, head of the investigations unit. CNN, in initially taking down the story, said it didn't meet its editorial standards. The episode is a damaging blow for a network that Trump has frequently derided as fake news and for a story that never even made it onto any of CNN's television networks. The story had been quickly questioned both internally and externally, including by the conservative site Breitbart News. It was determined that the story was posted without going through the expected checks and balances for a story of such sensitivity. The failure to follow proper procedures is what led to the resignations. It's not immediately clear what in the story is factually incorrect or whether CNN will continue to report on the issue. The retracted story had said the Senate Intelligence Committee was looking into a January 16th discussion between Scaramucci and Kirill Dmitriev, whose Russian direct investment fund guides investments by U.S. entities in Russia. Scaramucci, in the story, said he exchanged pleasantries in a restaurant with Dmitriev.
So there you have it. Again, another fake news story, and it's all for this Russia thing. It's all that's what it's all built on. The number eight, Newsweek falsely report that Polish First Lady Agata Kornhasia-Duda did not shake President Trump's hand. Another one, this is a visual, another one that you guys have to look at for yourselves to see that he was not snubbed, her hand did get shaken. They are just trying to make Trump look like nobody likes him so that they can do what they want with him. Number nine, CNN falsely reported that former FBI Director James Comey would dispute President Trump's claim that he was not under investigation. And President Trump was not under investigation. Another fake news story. We got about a minute and a half left than regulation. If you want to continue to listen to the show, you have to come on to Blog Talk. So just come to blogtalkradio.com/Green News Network, or you can go to Blog Talk Radio, and I'll also send the link out to you guys. And I've sent hundreds of links out to you guys as well. The show is going to be archived so you can go back and listen to it. But as far as all of our live feeds, we're going to be closing down here in about 1 minute. So if you want to continue to listen in to the show, you have to listen in via the link. So thank you all for listening in for the live streamers. And we're going to continue and with the fake news awards. Again, call in 914-205-5327 if you want to continue to listen in. And like I said, it is archived, so you guys can go back and listen again. Okay, so now we are dealing with the CNN falsely reported FBI Director Comey situation. So let's take a listen to that.
And part of the underlying logic was that we've discussed many times throughout this morning is the duty to correct. That is one of a theoretical issue, but also a very practical issue. Was there your feeling that the direction of the investigation could, in fact, include the president?
Well, In theory, I mean, as I explained, the concern of one of my senior leader colleagues was, if you're looking at potential coordination between the campaign and Russia, the person at the head of the campaign is the candidate. So logically, this person argued, the candidate's knowledge, understanding, will logically become a part of your inquiry if it proceeds. And so I understood that argument. My view was that what I said to the president was accurate and fair to him. I resisted the idea of publicly saying it, although if the Justice Department had wanted to, that I would have done it, because of the duty to correct and the slippery slope problem.
And again, also, you've testified that the president asked you repeatedly to be loyal to him, and you responded you would be honestly loyal, which is, I think, your way of saying, I'll be honest and I'll be the head of the FBI and independent. Is that fair?
Correct. I tried honest first, and also, I mean, you see it in my testimony, I also tried to explain to him why it's in his interest, and every president's interest, for the FBI to be a part, in a way, because its credibility is important to a president and to the country. And so I tried to hold the line. It got very awkward, and I then said, you'll always have honesty from me. He said, honest loyalty, and then I acceded to that as a way to end this awkwardness.
You hear that stupid fraud? You see, he tried to use all those words just to say, no, he's not under investigation. Now, I had came out with all of this stuff over this past year, and I got hammered over the past year because of it. Oh, you're a Trump supporter. No, I'm not. The mainstream media are liars. Come on now. I'm so happy Trump came out with this fake news awards because they deserve it. They deserve this. And lefties can get behind this as well as righties. And this is a way that the left and the right, the real left and the right, can come together in a sense. Because their policies are horrible for America. So, but we could at least come together and say, hey, fake news is crap. So that was number 9, the FBI Director James Comey. And we all know what he did with the Hillary thing, so he's a total fraud. Number 10, the New York Times, or the New York Slimes, falsely claims on the front page that Trump administration had hidden a climate report. And the headline reads, New York Times guilty of large screw-up on climate change story. Screw-up? Don't you mean blatant lie or fake news? I believe it's fake news. Let's take a listen.
Another leaked government document, this time shedding light on climate change.
The New York Times reports it obtained an unreleased federal report showing evidence from 13 agencies which directly contradict the Trump administration's stance on climate change. Doug McElway has more live from Washington. Doug?
Hi, John. The lead sentence in today's front page New York Times story begins with an ominous warning about climate change. Quote, the average temperature in the United States has risen rapidly and drastically since 1980, and recent decades have been the warmest of the past 1,500 years. This is a draft report written from 13 federal agencies that was obtained by the Times. The Times reports it has not been made public. Yet, Canadian climate scientist Catherine Hayhoe tweeted just this morning, the draft has been readily available for months, quote. Important to point out that this report was already accessible to anybody who cared to read it during public and review comment. Few did. The Times suggested that scientists were concerned the Trump administration will suppress the report, having already slashed environmental regulations and signaled its intent to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. But skeptics say this report is another case of false alarmism. Steve Malloy of JunkScience.com told Fox News this morning, quote, this is just Obama administration holdovers trying to rush out a U.S. government version of an IPCC report before the Trump administration has time to look at it and make changes. The report contains standard climate bedwetting gobbledygook, nothing new. But in a dig at Trump, Malloy also notes that the administration has so few agency appointees in place that it's not been able to get a grip on Obama holdovers. In an interview with me in the early days of the administration, EPA Chief Scott Pruitt offered this nuanced answer about man's role in climate change.
The climate is changing. There is obviously some human element to that process. How precise we measure that, how alarming the issue is, what process that we use to address it are the more important questions.
And just last Friday, the Trump administration issued a formal notice of its intention to withdraw from the Paris climate deal.
Okay, so it was because of the Paris climate deal why they brought up this lie. Because they was going to get us out of it. Now, I reported on that, and everybody was like, oh, you're a Trump supporter. No, the Paris Climate Agreement was a corporate giveaway. They were trying to regulate all who's going to get what tax and who gets this and that before they even set up the emissions limit. And the emissions limit that they set up doesn't even do anything for climate change. So it was just basically a corporate money giveaway on taxes, because people stand to make money from this carbon tax. Carbon is what we breathe out, that trees breathe in and give us oxygen. Eventually, with these carbon laws, they're going to eventually do that to us. Now, is that maybe a conspiracy theory? Who knows? But they'll have the power to do it. So that's the whole situation with the Paris Climate Agreement. And that was number 10. And here's Donald Trump's tweet. Well, now that the collusion with Russia is proven to be a total hoax, and the only collusion is with Hillary Clinton and the FBI, Russia, and fake news media, and this phony new book hitting out every new front imaginable, they should try winning an election. Sad. Exactly. And that's the truth right there. That is the truth. It was Russian collusion with Hillary, with Mueller, who is the special prosecutor right now. So whatever the media says that Trump is doing, the media and the DNC and all the Democrats, they are doing it. So that's why this fake news came out. Now, here are some... these are the rebuts to it. It says, while the media spent 90% of the time focused on negative coverage or fake news, the president has been getting results. Now, here are the results from the Trump administration based on their thought process. And based on my research, some of this stuff is accurate. Number one, the economy has created nearly 2 million jobs and gained over $8 trillion in wealth since the president's inauguration. African Americans and Hispanics are enjoying the lowest unemployment rate in recorded history. And that's true. Those two are true. The president signed historical tax cuts and relief for hardworking Americans not seen since President Reagan. Now, that remains to be true. Number four, President Trump's plan to cut regulations has exceeded 2 out of every 1 in mandate, issuing 22 deregulatory actions for every 1 new regulatory action. And he's been doing that. Not that that's right, but that's fact. Three's fact. All these are facts. Number three and four, are they right? Remains to be seen. Number five, the president has unleashed an American energy boom by ending Obama-era regulations, approving the Keystone Pipeline, which we know is terrible, and they've already stopped the flow of the oil of the Keystone Pipeline because it's done leaked oil already, auctioning off. And also he approved DAPL, so just to let you know. And all that's wrong, because we need to be energy independent through the Green New Deal and join the Green Party. That's what we need to be doing. Auctioning off millions of new acres for energy exploration and opening up ANWR. All terrible stuff. ISIS is on the retreat, having been crushed in Iraq and Syria. True. The President Trump followed through on his promise to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel and instructed the State Department to begin relocation of the embassy. That's a fact. But is that good? No, that's not good. But that was one of his promises that President Trump keeps his promises. That's the whole thing. And no president has kept their promises, except for Kennedy tried to, Reagan tried to, and Carter tried to. The rest of them were crooks. 9, signed Veterans Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act to allow senior officials in the VA to fire failings and safeguards to protect the whistleblowers. So let's go ahead, and then that's the reason why Chelsea Manning is back, and we need to go ahead and get Eric and Julian back in here. Ken, President Trump kept his promise and appointed Associate Justice Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, which he did. So he is keeping his promises. Are they good promises? No, not for the majority, but they are promises that he made. So there you have it, everybody. This is the Fake News Awards, and those were the top 10. We were stopped from presenting this last night through Facebook. Hopefully the live feeds went through. I'll check to see if YouTube, Periscope, and Facebook all allowed those live feeds to go through good. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Thank you guys for listening in to Painted Green, Episode 2. This has been the Fake News Awards, and this was presented by President Trump on the GOP website. And, again, thank you guys for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the show. And until we meet again at the appointed time. See you later, everybody.